was agitated. It had been smooth as a mirror, reflecting calmly and clearly everything around it. Every tree and bush, the old peasant's cottage with holes in its gable, the swallow's nest, and especially the large rose tree whose branches and flowers covered the wall and hung almost into the water. All these had been painted on the clear surface like a picture, only upside down. But now that the water was troubled, everything ran together and the whole picture was ruined. Two feathers that had fallen from the ducks were tossed to and fro and suddenly took flight as though carried away by the wind. Yet there was no wind. And soon the feathers lay still and the water became smooth as a mirror again, reflecting as before the peasant's cottage, the swallow's nest, and the rose tree. Each rose could see itself in the pond. All were beautiful, but they didn't know it. No one had told them so. The sun shone through their delicate petals, which were so full of fragrance, and each rose felt the way we do when we are happy in our thoughts. "How delightful it is to live," said each rose. "The only thing I'd wish for is to kiss the sun, because it's so warm and bright." "Yes, and those lovely roses down in the water, I'd like to kiss them too. They're just like us. And I'd like to kiss those dear baby birds in the nest down there. Yes, there are also some above us. They pop out their heads and twitter so softly, and they haven't any feathers like their father and mother. We certainly have pleasant neighbors above and below. Oh, how wonderful it is to be alive." Now, the young birds up above, yes, those down below were just their reflection in the water, were sparrows. Father and Mother Sparrow had taken possession of the empty swallow's nest the year before, and it was now their home. "Are those the ducklings swimming down there?" asked the young sparrows when they saw the two feathers drifting in the water. "Ask sensible questions if you ask any," said the mother. "Don't you see that they are feathers? Live clothes such as I wear and you will have some day? Only ours are finer. But I wish we had those feathers up here. They'd make our nest warm and comfortable. I'd like to know what frightened the ducks just now. Must have been something in the water. I'm sure it wasn't I, even if I did say twit rather loudly. Those thick-headed roses ought to know, but they don't know anything. They only look at themselves and scent the air. I'm completely sick of these neighbors of ours." "Listen to the sweet little birds up there," said the roses. "They're really trying to sing. Of course they can't yet, but they will in time. What a pleasure that must be. It's such fun to have such happy neighbors." Just then, there came galloping up to the pond two big horses to be watered. A peasant boy was on one of them, and he had taken off all his clothes except his black hat, which was large and broad-brimmed. The boy whistled as if he himself were a little bird as he rode through the deepest part of the pond. When he came to the rose tree, he broke off one of the roses and stuck it in his hat. Then, considering himself properly decorated, he rode off with it. The other roses looked after their lost sister and asked each other, "Where has she gone to?" But none of them knew. "I think I would like to go out in the world," said one of the roses to another. "But still, it's nice here at our home in our green branches. The sun is so warm all day long, and at night the sky shines still more beautifully. Then we can see through the many little holes that are there in the sky." It was the stars that they thought were holes, for the roses didn't know any better. "We make it lively around the house," said the mother sparrow. "People say that a swallow's nest brings luck, so they're glad to have us. But our neighbors here, a great rose bush like that against the wall, only makes the place a dump. I think they'll dig it up soon, and then perhaps corn will grow there. Roses are only to look at and smell, or at the most to stick in hats. Every year, I know from my mother, they all fall to pieces. The peasant's wife collects them and sprinkles salt on them. They're given some French name that I can't pronounce and don't care to, and then they're thrown into the fire to make a nice smell. You see, that's their life. They live only to please the ears and nose. Now you know." As it became evening and the gnats danced in the warm air where the clouds glowed so red, the nightingale came and sang to the roses. He sang that beauty was like the sunshine of the world and that the beautiful lives forever. But the roses imagined that the nightingale was singing about himself, and indeed, that may have been true. They never would have thought that the song might have been addressed to them, but it pleased them, and they wondered if the young sparrows might also become nightingales. "I understood quite well what that bird was singing about," said the young sparrow. "There was only one word I didn't understand. What is the beautiful?"
"That's nothing," said their mother. "It's just an appearance. Up at the manor house, the doves have..."